Today, the Torah portion was mainly on sacrifices, as well as, of course, Leviticus 11 on clean and unclean food. And I want to emphasize the sacrifices today. I think I spoke on unclean food last year or a few years back. I will do it again. But we read in our Torah portion today that for atonement for the people to be made, an offering containing fire was the most important ingredient. And I've titled this message, Yeshua's Sacrifice Affected Us, so that we affects our whole body, so that we can share in that, in what has affected us, to others. Because we're changed. We are affected by it. And when we look at Vayikra chapter 9, verses 7 to 8, it says, Moshe told Aharon, approach the altar, offer your sin offering and burnt offering, and make atonement for yourself and the people. Then present the offering of the people and make atonement for them as Yehovah ordered. So Aharon approached the altar and slaughtered the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. And it goes on further in verses 22 to 24 of Vayikra chapter 9. Aharon raised his hands towards the people, blessed them, and came down from the offerings of the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offerings. Moshe and Aharon entered the tent of meeting and came out and blessed the people. The glory of Yehovah appeared to all the people. Fire came forth from the presence of Yehovah, consuming the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. No one lit the fire. Fire came down from heaven and lit it. This is the most important thing to me, is that the fire comes from Yehovah. It doesn't come from man. And when the people saw it, they couldn't even stand up in its presence. They had to fall down on their faces. This indicated that the sacrifice affected the people and it was acceptable to Yah. When we accept Yeshua as our Yeshua or our salvation, his sacrifice affects our souls. That is our mind, our will and our emotions. With the ability for us to share all his ministry and power that he has for us. And each and every one of us has a ministry. It's all different. Not everyone's ministry is the same. Don't ask me to be an evangelist. That is not my thing. Might be yours. It's definitely Malachi's. But we are all different. And so we have a different ministry. And it's really important that we understand that the slightest thing that we do for Yehovah is our ministry. It might be helping someone and washing dishes. You know, it could be anything. And if that's what you've been called to do, don't think it is less than what I'm doing, standing up and speaking. Because, you know, I don't like washing dishes. Sink's too high. My arms are like this to get over it. I end up with water everywhere. It just doesn't work for me. And so you've got to realize that we're all different and we're meant to be different. We were meant to be different. We were meant to serve Yah differently. We also read in the Nevi'im, or the prophets, in the story of the prophets of Baal being defeated, we see Eliyahu calling on fire from Yah to consume a sacrifice without lighting the fire, but relying completely on the power of Yehovah. Now, you might wonder where I'm getting at. But just let me tell you that in 2 days' time, on the 8th of April, unholy fire may be lit, or tried to be lit, in Israel because of the solar eclipse that is going across America. And they're matching it up with that to light a holy fire. We don't know that it's going to happen, but this is the plan at the moment. But we're going to have to watch and wait and see. In Malachim Aleph 1 Kings 18 to 24, when you call upon the name of your Elohim, I will call on the name of Yehovah. And the God who answers with fire, let him be Elohim. And all the people answered, good idea. And they agreed. And then furthermore in Malachim Aleph 18, 38 to 39, when the fire of Yehovah fell, it consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones and the dust. It licked up the water in the trenches. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, Yehovah is Elohim. Yehovah is Elohim. Eliyahu had put 12 barrels of water on that sacrifice. And when Eliyahu poured water all over the sacrifice, it was proving that there would be no natural means to cause the fire, and people think it was faked. Even when King David, known as a man after Yah's own heart, built an altar and offered burnt offering and peace offerings to Yehovah, that were accepted. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 26, it says, then David built an altar to Yehovah there, and he offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. He called on Yehovah, who answered him from heaven by fire on the altar for burnt offerings. It doesn't say that King David struck a match and lit the altar. It says the fire came down from heaven. And again, so we've got the Torah, we've got the prophets, we've got the writings, and now we've got the Kedavah HaShalakim. The Yah's got it right through his word. Again, in the Kedavah HaShalakim, or Renewed Testament, Kepha or Peter, whatever you want to call him, preached on the day of Shavuot, or Pentecost, which is the next upcoming festival, saying that the reason the Ruach was poured out upon the 120 when the tongues of fire fell on them as well was because Yeshua sat on the right-hand throne of Yehovah. In Acts chapter 2, verses 30 to 33, it says, therefore, since he was a prophet and knew that Yehovah had sworn an oath to him that one of his descendants would sit on his throne, he was speaking in advance about the resurrection of HaMashiach, that it was he who was not abandoned in Sheol and whose flesh did not see decay. Yehovah raised up this Yeshua, and we are all witnesses of it. Moreover, he has been exalted to the right hand of Yehovah, has received from the Father what he promised, namely the Ruach HaKodesh, and has poured out this gift which you are both seeing and hearing. Now, King David was quoting from Psalm 110, which is the writings. Sorry, Kepha was quoting from Psalm 110. In Tehillim 110, 1 and 2, a psalm of King David. Yehovah says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Yehovah will send your powerful scepter out from Zion, so that you will rule over your enemies around you. So Kepha and the Ruach HaKodesh was poured. Kepha said that the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, was poured out because Yeshua sat at the right hand of Yehovah. If Yeshua was not sitting at the right hand of Yehovah, we would not have the blessing today of receiving the Ruach HaKodesh. We couldn't have it. Messianic Jews or Hebrews teaches us the reason Tehillim 110 or Psalm 110 says Yeshua sat on the right hand was as follows. In Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 to 14. Now every Kohen stands every day doing his service. I'll repeat that verse again. Every Kohen, or priest, stands every day. Did you get that? Stands every day during his service, offering over and over the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this one, after which is Yeshua, after he had offered for all time one single sacrifice for sins, sat down at the right hand of Yehovah. From then on to wait until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has brought forth to the goal for all times those who are being set apart for Yehovah and made holy. Yeshua only had to do it once and then he could sit down. But the Kohen, they did it time after time after time and never sat. They were always standing. So Yeshua sat on the right hand because he offered a sacrifice that takes away all sins. Until a sacrifice was given that took away all sins, they stood daily, never sitting down. There were no chairs in the temple and there were no chairs in the tabernacle, except the mercy seat on the ark. And no person ever sat on that seat. We heard what happened to Uzzah when he touched the ark, let alone sat on the ark. So the reason he sat down in Tehillim 110 was because he had made a single and one only offering that completed the entire ordeal over sin. By one offering, Yeshua perfected forever all those that are sanctified. So let us look at verse 14 again. In some Messianic Jews, Hebrews 10:14, for by a single offering he brought to the goal for all times those who are being set apart for Yehovah and made holy. Even when fire fell on the sacrifices in the Tanakh, the job was still not done. It was as good as it could be done back then before Yeshua's sacrifice on the stake. We know that fire showed Yehovah's acceptance of the sacrifice. He was satisfied to a degree, but as much as could be expected at the time, before Yeshua's ultimate once and for all sacrifice. And this is how it is today. The sacrifices of the Tanakh, although imperfect, were acceptable at the time before Yeshua. They were imperfect, but were acceptable. Since Yeshua, the temple curtain had been rent from top to bottom, and Yeshua gave up his Ruach, his spirit, the spirit of Yah, at his crucifixion, opening up the most holy place for everyone to see. The temple has now been destroyed so that no sacrifices can be offered in the manner shown to Moshe in that age since Yeshua. And it's not meant to be done again. Now, there are Christians and people out there in the world at the moment are obsessed with the red heifer that is ready for sacrifice, and they say it is 3 years old. And they say it can be between 3 and 5 years old, but there's nowhere in Scripture that tells you that. I've checked it out. There's an altar has been built to do the sacrifice. But I've also discovered that this altar that they built is not made from uncut stones, which the Torah says it must be. Two things that are wrong. Actually, when I look at it, it's made of poured concrete. And it's a great big long walk up to it till you get to the top where they've got some sort of altar that they've stuck up the top of it. I'm not too sure whereabouts it is, whether it's in Jerusalem or whether it's on the mount opposite, facing the east, which is the what's the name of it again? Mount of Olives. I've been there and I couldn't think of it. And so whether it's on Mount of Olives or where it is, but I've seen this altar that they've built. One, it's not of uncut stones. Two, it's got this long ramp that you go up. And the scripture says that there should not be steps or something to reveal what's under their tunics. But you see these men in white tunics walking up. So that's all wrong. The rabbis and the Christians can focus on these things, but in my opinion, none of it is from Yah. And any offering made on it will not be acceptable to him. Fire has to fall from heaven. Well, as Malachi said to me, well, they could send a laser down and make it look like it's come from heaven. I said, fine, but Yah's bigger than the laser. Because Yah can distract the laser to go bang, bang, bang to everyone standing up there, and they're still not lit, but they're all gone. You know, it's just not of Yah. It just, fire will not fall from heaven over this altar on this red heifer. Yes, they say you can keep the ashes from the red heifer for as long as you need to, but you need unholy people to be you need holy people to be able to do it, and no one's been purified with the water and the ashes of the previous one to make them holy to be able to do the next one. So you've got all of these problems that are against what they want to do. So we're just going to have to wait and see what happens on the 8th of this month, 2 days away. Because they will have to light the fire with a man-made lighter, contains an accelerant of some kind, if they want it to be lit. There was a time when Kohanim offered unacceptable sacrifices, which we read in our Torah today, in Vayikra Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. But Nadav and Avihu, sons of Aharon, took his censer, put fire in it, and laid incense on it, and offered unauthorized fire before Yehovah, something he had not ordered them to do. At this, fire came forth from the presence of Yehovah and consumed them, that is, Nadav and Avihu. So they died in the presence of Yehovah. As I'm saying, they want to put a laser. Yeah, I can distract the laser. Fire fell on them and killed them. These rabbis who attempt to sacrifice the red heifer need to be mindful of Yehovah's wrath. And we need to be mindful if we want to follow these people who are wanting to go ahead of Yah. Because that's what they're doing. They're going ahead of Yah. Moshe explained the order for making atonement. Let us look at the description of the Kohen Gadol, or the high priest's garments. In Shemot, Exodus 28, 33-35. On its bottom hem, make pomegranates of blue, purple and scarlet, and put them all the way around with a gold bell between them all the way around. Gold bell, pomegranate, gold bell, pomegranate, all the way around the hem of the robe. Aharon is to wear it when he ministers, and its sound will be heard whenever he enters the holy place before Yehovah, and when he leaves, so that he won't die. But look at the change he had to make to enter into the holiest place. This is in the holy place, but when he goes into the Holy of Holies, it was different. And I know this is going ahead of our reading, it's 3 weeks away, but I want to read you this scripture from Vayikra. In Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 16, verses 1 to 4, Yehovah spoke with Moshe after the death of Aharon's two sons. Then they cried when they tried to sacrifice before Yehovah and died. Yehovah said to Moshe, tell your brother Aharon not to come at just any time into the holy place beyond the curtain in front of the ark cover, which is on the ark, so that he will not die. Because I will appear in the cloud over the ark cover. Here is how Aharon is to enter the holy place, with a young bull as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering. He is to put on the holy linen tunic, have the linen shorts next to his bare flesh, have the linen sash wrapped around him, and be wearing the linen turban. They are holy garments. He is to bathe his body in water and put them on. So I want you to notice that the Kohen Gadol could only wear linen garments, whether the linen was natural coloured, bleached, white is irrelevant. There was to be no gold, blue or purple and scarlet yarn attached to these linen garments. The belts came off with the robes, and he wore, and what he wore were not his linen. It doesn't say white linen, even though many people assume that it's white linen, but I can't assume that, because to me white linen has been bleached and it's no longer pure linen. So the purity is gone from it. So people think it has to be white linen to be pure. No, it doesn't have to be white. It's actually an off-white colour to be pure. So if it's white, it's no longer pure in my eyes, but maybe I'm wrong. It had to be, because it would have been had to be treated. The idea, I don't know whether you've heard this, but I've heard this in circles, a rope tied to the Kohen Gadol's feet to pull him out because they couldn't hear the ringing of the bell. Have you heard that one? It's not in scripture. It's a furphy. It's been added. I don't know where they get it from. I've got no idea. It's a story that's been made up. The Kohen Gadol could not wear the bells in the most holy place, and neither do I believe either that a rope was tied around the Kohen's feet, because I haven't seen it in scripture where it's been commanded to do that. We didn't read that, did we? No, not there. After he had done offering atonement, then he went back out and changed his clothes and put on the colourful robes with the bells and the pomegranates. In Vayikra, Leviticus 16:23-24, it says, Aharon is to go back into the tent of meeting, where he is to remove the linen garments he put on when he entered the holy place, and he is to leave them there. Then he is to bathe his body in water in a holy place, put on the other clothes, come out and offer burnt offerings and the burnt offering of the people, thus making atonement for himself and the people. Now this was done one day a year, and it was done on Yom Kippur, and the Day of Atonement. And we read in Vayikra today, in chapter 9, verse 24, fire came forth from the presence of Yehovah, consuming the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. The high priests, or the Kohen HaGadol, or the people were there on the temple, never sat down. Remember, there were no seats, pews, etc., commanded to be built for the temple. But look what was prophesied for Yeshua. In Zechariah, chapter 6, verses 11 to 15, it says, take silver and gold and make crowns. Put one on the head of Yehoshua, the son of Yehotzadak, the Kohen HaGadol, and tell him, Yehovah Tzevaot says, there is coming a man whose name is Tzemach, which means sprout. He will sprout up from his place and rebuild the temple of Yehovah. He will rebuild the temple of Yehovah. He will take up the royal splendor, sitting and ruling from his throne. There will be a Kohen before his throne, and they will accept each other's advice in complete harmony. The other crowns will be for Helem, Toviah, Yahadiah, and Hen, the son of Zephaniah. Then they are to be kept as a memorial in the temple of Yehovah. Those who are now far away will come and help rebuild the temple of Yehovah. Then you will know that it is Yehovah Zevaot who sent me to you, and it will come about, provided you heed carefully what Yehovah your Elohim says. This prophecy has been fulfilled in Yeshua HaMashiach's resurrection. Now Yehoshua is in Hebrew actually the same name as Yeshua in Aramaic, or as Joshua in English. In this passage, Zechariah, we have a man named Yehoshua as the Kohen HaGadol, or Yeshua as the high priest. And he represented Yeshua to come, who was our high priest or Kohen Gadol to this very day. And this high priest would build a temple, which Yeshua said he would rebuild in 3 days. Make a sacrifice and atonement and sit at the right-hand throne. Yeshua did that and is already sitting at the right hand of Yehovah. He resides in the temple built without hands. No other high priest has ever done that. We'll do it again. We know that sitting on the throne means that Yeshua HaMashiach conquered and takes rulership. So not sitting on the throne, having to stand up all the time, means no one conquered and no one took dominion. So what did Yeshua HaMashiach conquer? We have to go to Revelation to find that. So let's go to Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Next I saw in the right hand of the one sitting on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And in verses 5 and 6, one of the elders said to me, "Don't cry. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Yehuda, the Root of David, has won the right to open the scrolls and its 7 seals. Then I saw standing there with the throne and the 4 living beings in the circle of the elders, a lamb that appeared to have been slaughtered. He had 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the sevenfold Ruach of Yehovah, sent out into all the earth. Then I saw standing there with the throne. Then I saw standing there with the throne a lamb that had been slain and stands. The lamb is standing. The lamb has conquered death and been resurrected from it. It's no longer a dead lamb. It's alive and standing." In Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, it says, "They sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals, because you were slaughtered. At the cost of blood, you ransomed for Yehovah's persons from every tribe, language, people and nation, and you made them into a kingdom for Yehovah to rule, Kohanim to serve him, and they will rule over the earth." Not only is Yeshua King of Kings and Kohen Gadol, or High Priest, but going to that throne made us a kingdom of Kohanim or priests as well. And while sacrifices had to be acceptable to Yehovah and perfect, spotless, in order for the fire to fall on it, we read Yeshua was the sacrifice, but look where the fire fell. In Acts chapter 2, verse 3, "Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which separated and came to rest on each one of them." We identified with the perfect sacrifice to such a degree that after Yeshua had offered himself as a sacrifice, the fire acceptance fell on us. As we accept Yeshua and his Ruach comes in us, the fire of acceptance. Can you see those fires over you as they were on that first day of Shavuot, of that first 120? In Acts chapter 2, verse 33, "Moreover, he, Yeshua, has been exalted to the right hand of Yehovah, has received from the Father what he promised, namely the Ruach HaKodesh, and has poured out this gift, which you are both seeing and hearing." That was what they were seeing when that 120 had the tongues of fire falling on them. In Acts 2:33, said the Ruach was poured out because Yeshua sat down on the right-hand throne. Before this, the Ruach of Yehovah was only present in the Holy of Holies inside the temple, or the tabernacle, or Mishkan, when it was in existence. Now the Ruach resides within us who believe and acknowledge that Yeshua is the Son of Yehovah. In Messianic Jews, or Hebrews chapter 10, said that Yeshua sat down at the right hand throne because he offered a perfect sacrifice that ended any further need for further work. This is the second witness. In Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 10, 11 to 14. Now every Kohen stands every day doing his service, offering over and over the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this one, after he had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, sat down at the right hand of Yehovah. While Kohanim stand daily, never offering a perfect sacrifice, Yeshua offered one and sat down once and for all. And although the fire showed Yehovah's acceptance in the Tanakh, the Ketuvah HaShelekim sacrifice of Yeshua was so much more powerful and acceptable that after he was offered and went into the throne room and sat down, something the Kohen Gadolim could never do, the fire of acceptance fell on the 120 people who witnessed it. The same people who received the Ruach HaKodesh because Yeshua was on the throne. If the Ruach came and sat because he sat on the throne and he could not sit on the throne until a perfect offering was made, then the Ruach fell because the perfect offering was acceptable. And just as the people wondered and waited to see if Aharon offered an acceptable sacrifice and waited to see if he would come out of that holiest of holy place successfully and change back into his priest's robes and put the bells on again and hear those bells on the first Shavuot day after the resurrection of Yeshua, the people spoke in other tongues or languages of those around them, but they did not know personally what they were saying. Now, I've got a little bit of information for you. What's the inside of the bell called? It's called a tongue. The hammer inside the bell on the robe of the Kohen HaGadol is called a tongue. So the tongue is what wobbles to make the bell ring. After the priest left the holiest of place and put on the robe with bells, hearing those tongues ring would tell everyone that the offering was acceptable. Well, not only was Yeshua the offering that was accepted, only to see the fire fall on us instead of normally on the offering, which could be interpreted as showing that we are acceptable offerings, but Yeshua is the Kohen Gadol sitting at the right hand of the Father, and the ringing of tongues that normally would occur on the Kohen Gadol's robes were heard on the 120 speaking in different languages or tongues. So with the fire falling on us instead of the sacrifice, which was Yeshua, we can see how we become living sacrifices. And the fire was on them while they were alive and well. So listen to what Shaul says in Romans 12 and verse 1. I exhort you therefore, brothers, in view of Yehovah's mercies, to offer yourselves as a sacrifice, living and set apart for Yehovah. This will please him. It is logical temple worship for you. But with the tongues coming from us instead of the Kohen Gadol's robes, we become Kohanim. And not only that, but Revelation chapter 5 says we become a kingdom of Kohanim. That is a group of people that Yeshua the Mashiach is as our high priest, and all the people of his are Kohanim to rule and reign with him. When the atonement was made, those first 120 believers were immediately living sacrifices. Kohanim with tongues, as well as entering into the King's kingdom. We become all things that Yeshua is. And this is why we are not to doubt who we are in him. Don't let anyone put doubt in your mind who you are in Yeshua. And this is why we can have the assurance of what we ask for in prayer that we will receive. This is why we can claim every promise in the word of Yehovah. Because Yeshua is the word. He is the living word. Our trust in his word is paramount, as is our walk with him and the observance of his Torah. Because of his sacrifice, we now have the power to overcome all obstacles that might want to hinder our walk. The ultimate and true sacrifice was made by Yeshua, allowing the tongues of fire of the Ruach to fall on us so that we can share in all that Yeshua has given us to do. Are there any questions?
So let's go back to Acts 10. For my benefit and everybody else that has not gone over that before.
Sorry?
Acts 10, about the white sheet.
Yep.
And the wild beast coming down.
Yep.
Can you just do an overview of what that actually means rather than the face value of that?
Well, that's easy. It's really easy. Because in those days, the Yehudians were not to eat with and mix with people who were not Yehudians, that weren't temple worshippers, and they weren't to mix, even when they were believers, they believed that they weren't to mix with people of other races. And Yehovah had to show Kepha through bringing down the unclean animals, taking it up, bringing it down, taking it up, and then telling him to eat. And of course, Kepha says, well, I don't eat of these animals. And then he goes on to show him by someone knocking at the door. He took it up and down three times. Then Cornelius had been praying for 3 days, fasting for 3 days. And he sends people along to Kepha to say, come to us. And when Kepha saw these people, it all automatically, Yah showed him that these people, the Roman Cornelius and all his family, were not unclean. You can go with them and you can spend time with them. And you can, they brought the whole family into the, and those that wanted to, into the kingdom of Yehovah. So he was showing them not that the unclean food was ready to eat, but people who they classed as unclean were welcome into the kingdom and were able to worship and accept Yeshua as their Messiah. Does that answer your question? So?
That's what I understood.
Yeah?
Yeah. I just got a little testimony for everybody to hear. Something amazing happened on Friday. And it's a testimony to this gathering as well. I went to the shops on Friday and I saw a busker that was outside busking, and he and people were putting money in his guitar thing and that. And of course, only 13% of us carry cash.
Yeah,
that's all. So I didn't have any cash, and I went inside the supermarket, and the Holy Spirit says, just go and ask him what he wants to eat. So I went out and I asked him, is there anything I can buy you? Because I don't carry cash with me. And he just turned and said, oh, I'd love a bottle of water. So I went inside and Gabby was with me, and Gabby reminded me, oh, don't forget the guy outside. And so I said, yeah, no problem. So I bought a couple of bottles of water, and I bought something I didn't need.
Mm.
Which is a chicken, you know, a couple of barbecue chickens. And so I just bought them, but not thinking I was going to give them to him. And so when I went out there, I gave him the water, and he says, mate, I got chickens here, can I give them to you? And he said, you sure? I said, yeah, I'm very sure. And I gave him one of the chickens, because that's what he needed. And I left, went to the car, and loading up my car, and the guy stopped playing, and I wasn't even listening at that time. He came round to where I was parked, and he was right beside me. And I said, oh, how are you going? He says, and I looked at his eyes, he had tears in his eyes. And I said, oh, mate, you all right? And he says, mate, I never get to thank anybody for what they put in the offering there.
Yeah.
But he says, what you just did, and listen, this is glorifying God. This is not me.
Yeah.
Because the God that was my God spoke to me. So and so I just said to him, mate, God sees everything. And I says, are you a believer? And he says, yes, I am. And I said, well, the Lord knows how much, you know, you need to be loved by others and to accept you, and that Lord will provide for you always. And then he just says, mate, I just come out of hospital, and he showed me his scars. He's got scars, holes all over his stomach, where he had a heart attack and had kidneys had failed on him and everything like that. And so just at that time, he needed the Lord to show up and show his love. So that was amazing. It was amazing. It was amazing for me because I've never experienced that myself. So I praise God for that.
Yeah, yep. No, and not only that, the giving feels good. You know, that you've given to someone, you've made their life happy. You know.
We are truly blessed. We have our Lord to guide us. You know, the Holy Spirit is with us all the time to say or do or wherever. But little kindness goes a long way. I just wanted to say that it's sad to see so many Christians, they don't get it. They think whatever shows on the white sheet, they still carry on eating unclean food. But that's between them and the yam. But Tama, isn't that they're going to undo the whole this sacrifice, the what they're building, the altar, undo the Lord sacrifice himself for us? I feel awful. I feel sad. How could they do it when there's no need or required?
Well, think of Abraham and Sarah. They wanted a child so much that they went ahead of Yah and had Ishmael with Hagar.
Mm.
Okay? Now, the Jews at the moment, they want the Messiah to come so much, they will do anything to make it happen. They are going ahead of Yah. And they're not doing it the correct way.
But isn't that Lord said he does not even know when he's coming back?
That's
only
exactly
Father.
Right. Only the Father knows.
Yes. So.
That's exactly right. So we've got to wait. We've got to be patient. Yeah,
but I feel bad, know? Like what this
so
people are
So we've got
doing.
To be careful. We don't go ahead of him.
Of course, it's his timing, not ours.
That's exactly right. His timing is perfect. It's like his ways are perfect and his ways are just.
The giving of wisdom comes responsibility.
Absolutely. Okay.
This is about the heifer that they're going to offer. They 2 days ago, they found that it was not completely red. It had a couple of white hairs.
Yeah, but once again, they had five. Three were discarded. They had two. Now they've got one. And by the time it comes to do it, every time that, I think this has been going on for years, 20 years that I know of, every time they go to do it, they find a white hair. There'll be a white hair, there'll be something. It'll happen. Yah's got it in control. You can't go ahead of him. Okay, let's move to the remembrance service. He's got a sense of humour, though. So what I wanted to say is let's go to the remembrance service in thankfulness of Yeshua being the ultimate sacrifice to free us from our sins and allowing us to live by his power a priestly life in his kingdom for eternity. And I think, you know, we've got to really remember that bit. We are in his kingdom for eternity.